Hello, everybody. With Bob Christopher and Richard Piper, I'm Bob Davis, and this is Basic Gospel. We're live right now to allow you to be a part of the broadcast, to pose your question, or discuss your real-life issue. So we invite your calls now to 1-800-677-9377. We all have issues in life and many times don't know what to do or where to turn. That's why we are here. Something you need to talk about, let's talk about it right now. The Word of God reveals true freedom and life in Jesus Christ. It's basic gospel, and it intersects with your life every day. Call now, 1-800-677-9377. Now here's Bob Christopher.
Well, thanks, Bob. Paul said that in his life he was constrained or compelled by the love of God. Everything that he did was motivated by God's love that had been poured out into his heart through Jesus Christ. That's how we live. Abiding in the love of God. That's how we treat one another. As we abide in the love of God, we allow this love to flow through us. Everything that we are to do is to be motivated by the love of God. Now, some folks can look at that legalistically and say, hey, I'm going to go try to imitate the love of God. I'm going to go try to do it in the energy of my flesh. That can't be done. Jesus is the source of love. As we abide in him, we will experience his love in and through us. And what God wants for us in our day-to-day lives is for us to grow in our understanding of the love of God. And so today we offer up a prayer. A prayer that was written in the book of Ephesians. Paul prayed this for those that he was writing to, and in essence, he prayed that for us. And it is in Ephesians chapter 3, a wonderful, wonderful passage of Scripture. And our encouragement to you today is to adopt this as your personal prayer. As you wake up in the morning, as you eat lunch in the middle of the day, as you go back to your home in the evening time, as you go to bed at night, let this prayer be front and center in your mind. And here's what Paul wrote in Ephesians chapter 3, starting in verse 16. I pray that out of his glorious riches he may strengthen you with power. We all need power. We all need to be strengthened in our day-to-day lives. Well, here's a prayer for that very purpose. So he says that out of his glorious riches, he may strengthen you with power through his Spirit in your inner being, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. This Christian life, you know, when we first come to faith in Jesus, it's an unfamiliar life to us. I mean, we were used to gratifying the desires of the flesh. We were used to following rules and regulations. We were used to a life of fear and all of those sort of things. That's what we were used to. That's what was familiar. And now Christ kind of jumps into our lives. I mean, he puts himself right into the middle of who we are. And we're there to walk by faith in him. And that's not so familiar. He's not quite at home there as far as we're concerned. And so Paul prays that we'll be strengthened and we'll have power in our inner man so that Christ may dwell in our hearts through faith. And then he says this, and I pray that you, being rooted and established in love, may have power together with all the saints to grasp how wide and long and high and deep is the love of Christ, and to know this love that surpasses knowledge, that you might be filled to the measure of all the fullness of God. What a wonderful prayer. Praying that we will know, have power, together with all the saints, to know and experience how wide and long and high and deep is the love of Christ. And when we know that love, then we're filled to the measure of all the fullness of God. God is love. That's who he is. That's his essence. That's his being. So he shared himself with us. He is the gift of grace. When we're saved, we get him. And when we get him, we get all that he is, and that's love. And as we grow in our understanding of that love, we're going to be filled to the measure with all the fullness of God. So adopt this as your personal prayer. It is a powerful prayer, and it's one that God wants to answer for you. He wants you to know the height and depth and length and breadth of his love. So pray it earnestly, and I guarantee you he's going to answer it in ways immeasurably more than you could ask or imagine, according to his work within you.
Well, this is Basic Gospel, everybody, and that, of course, is Basic Gospel. We thank you for joining us. Bob Christopher, Richard Pfeiffer, my name is Bob Davis, and we have open lines so that you can come in and tell us who you are. Again, 1-800-677-9377. If you have some particular life issue you'd like to discuss, a particular Bible passage you can't quite understand, that's why we're here every day live, so you can be a part of the program and pose your question or your particular need. So give us a call. Lines are open right now at 1-800-677-9377. Guys, Terry wrote to us from the internet from Arizona. She said, I heard the lady just recently, maybe yesterday it was, that called in and was asking if she should tell her husband about an abortion that she had had. She said, I'm confused. Would you please help me understand? Are we supposed to tell one another our sins? I always thought that Scripture meant that you shared your struggles and shortcomings with each other and not to hold bitterness and unforgiveness against each other. We all have sin that we don't want to share with each other, however, that we can be thankful to the Lord that He's forgiven us and we can talk to Him about it. So what are your thoughts on that issue, guys?
Well, if you've sinned against someone else, then you go to that person and you confess that sin to that person. Why? Because that sin has become a barrier within that relationship, and you are hiding behind it. You feel indebted to that person because you've sinned against them. They are wondering about this relationship as a result of that. So when you go and confess that sin, that removes the barrier. Everybody gets released, and the relationship can continue. So that's why the Bible is very clear that we confess our sins one to another. Now, there are lots of churches, there's lots of places that would say we need to form, quote, accountability groups, and within those accountability groups, we confess our sins. Now, the person that we've offended isn't in that accountability group, so our confession there really doesn't affect in a positive way this person over here that we've offended. So the Bible is very clear. We go to the one that we've offended. Now, as far as this lady was concerned yesterday, she has kept a secret from her husband for many, many years. And the fact that she kept that secret and has kept that secret has caused a problem within her own heart and soul. And so the confessing that is a release of that. Now, the reason she hasn't, and this is what she said, was she's afraid of the circumstances. Would her husband accept her? Would her husband stick with her? Would her husband, you know, respond positively or negatively? And in her mind, she felt like it would be a negative response. So she's held on to this secret. Well, that's making a decision based on fear, not faith. And so God wants us to live by faith, to trust Him with those outcomes, to trust Him with those results. He's the only one that can work it together for good. So our encouragement to her was to share that, to release that, so she could be set free in her own heart and soul and trust the Lord to work it together for good. Richard, do you have any thoughts on that?
Yeah, this kind of truthfulness with each other can only be done within relationship. And that's the danger of the accountability groups that you talked about. It's the danger of certain belief systems that require you for all kinds of issues to stand up in front of the whole church and say, well, here's what I did, and you start listing them off. There's no relationship there. That's just punishment. And we know, based on the entire New Covenant, that there is no condemnation for us as believers. So if there's a sense of condemnation in the confession, then it's not of God. If you're in relationship with someone, you're close, whether it's a husband and wife or just a good friend, and you can share this kind of stuff, there will be no condemnation. There can be some shock and some hurt and all of that, but not condemnation. And that's the difference between a proper kind of confession among brothers and sisters in Christ and the improper kind.
Something you'd like to add to the conversation? We want you to be a part of it right now. 1-800-677-9377. Plenty of open lines, plenty of time. 1-800-677-9377.
Thanks, Bob. Let's go to Fairfax, Virginia, and talk with Chris, listening to us on WAVA, WAVA. Hi, Chris.
Hi, Bob, Richard, and Bob. I wanted to see what insights you guys had about perfectionism. Namely, what do you do when you have these thoughts that say, well, you should have said something different in that situation, or if you had said this thing, then you could have impacted that person a lot more, or that person just completely took what you said the wrong way, and now they're going to be mad at you. Like, what do you do about all those what-if scenarios? How do you process that?
Well, Chris, as far as what-ifs, there are no such thing as what-ifs. I mean, that's just imagination, unbridled, and thinking that you had the power to move it in a different direction than the direction that it actually went. So I think the first thing to realize is that there really are no what-ifs. I mean, you did what you did, and now you're going to have to trust the Lord to work that together for good, and He's promised to do so. So I think that's the first step you take. The second is to realize that you know, you don't have the power to control outcomes. God is the one who is in control. I tried to control some outcomes in a situation several years back, and boy, it just didn't work out so well. I couldn't control the outcomes, but I sure was working hard to try to get the outcome that I wanted. But that wasn't in the card, so to speak. So I had to just step back and say, Lord, this is too big for me. I have to trust you with this. And if you're moving me to do this or to do that, I'm going to step out in faith and I'm going to trust you with the result. So I think we have to go there. And then the third thing is truth. If you read in the book of Hebrews, and I love this particular passage, Hebrews chapter 10, verse 14, the writer says this, that we have been made perfect by that one sacrifice. So because of the sacrifice, we have been made perfect forever, those who are being made holy. So you've already reached God's goal for you. And you did so not through your efforts, not through any works on your part. You did so through the sacrifice of Jesus Christ. He delivered you to the end goal that He had for you, and that was relationship with Him. That was being made alive in Him. That's being forgiven of all your sins in Him. That's being declared a child of God in Him. You've already reached that goal. And you reached it by grace through faith. It wasn't a work that you did. So rest in that, Chris. And I think as you do, you won't strive for perfection necessarily in the things that you do. You'll strive for excellence. It's a big difference there.
That's good stuff. Thanks for your insight, Bob. And hey, Richard.
Yeah.
I really admire your really sharp intellect. I think that you have this talent of bringing this additional insight to the table that's not immediately obvious. And so before I hang up, I wanted to see if you had anything more to say on this subject.
Well, thanks for the pressure. no, thank you. That's awfully kind words. Notice everything that Bob said is in the context of what we were talking about in the first question. Perfectionism is kind of the other side of the coin from this, should we confess to each other? And what we're doing in perfectionism is accusing ourselves of not being enough and confessing to ourselves, and it immediately takes you into condemnation. And if you want to avoid that condemnation, then you follow what BC just talked about.
Okay, well, thank you both for your insight, and thanks for doing this show.
Well, thank you, Chris. Yeah. It's a real joy to do, and hopefully, you know, as folks call, we're pointing them to the Word of God, and they're getting the help that they need, experiencing the freedom that they long for, and starting to enjoy the love and grace of God in ways they never imagined before. That's the reason we're on the air, to help folks in their spiritual journey with Christ. And Chris, you bring a very important topic to the table today. We thank you for that.
Yes, indeed.
Yeah, you guys have a great weekend.
Well, thank you. You do as well.
Plenty of open lines. Still time on the clock. We want you to be a part of this particular edition of Basic Gospel. 1-800-677-9377. That's the number to dial, 1-800-677-9377. Guys, want to let our listeners know that our upcoming conference, our website, Stand 2014, we have a couple of deadlines that are coming up. Of course, Stand 2014, it's your opportunity to come and be part of something very, very special with Bob Kuster, Andrew Farley, and John Lynch. Finding Solid Footing in a Broken World. That's coming up June 19th through the 21st. The first note, of course, is the preferred rate at the Hilton Garden Inn for the conference expires on June 5th. That, of course, is going to be Thursday, I believe. And so if you have not made your reservation yet and you're planning to come, well, this would be the time to do that. This is the closest hotel to the Hope Center where the conference will be held, and all the information on that particular hotel venue is listed right there on the website, again, stand2014.com. Also, the early bird registration ends this Sunday, I believe it is, which is the 2nd of June. Is that correct, Mr. Christopher? I believe
that's
exactly
right. Well, the 2nd of June would actually be Monday.
Monday,
but,
yes.
We have a rate of $79 for this conference right now, and you just can't beat that price.
Yeah.
A friend of mine was talking about a conference that he went to, and he paid, I think, $3,000 for it for a weekend. And I was thinking, oh, my goodness. But this is you're getting a lot of bang for the buck for
$79. Too late to change the price?
Yeah. Well, if you'd like to give us $3,000 to attend, we'll take it.
Yeah, but all that information is available at stand2014.com, and we hope that you'll be with us. It's going to be a great time, and we look forward to seeing many of our friends from out across the country and maybe some from across the pond. Who knows?
Yes, indeed. Well, let's go to Queens and talk with Stephen. Hi, Stephen.
Hello?
Stephen, you're on the air.
Hi, how are you doing?
We're doing well.
I was listening. I'm fine, thank God. I'm going to get a little off topic. It was about something that I heard yesterday on the radio. It was like around the same time. I heard when you were speaking about, it wasn't you, sorry, when they were speaking how Jesus was God as well. And I was a little confused because I remember when I was reading how when Jesus Christ was on the cross, he had asked our Father, he had, Lord, Father, why have you forsaken me? I was a little confused with that topic. I don't know if you guys can.
Why did Jesus say that from the cross?
Yes.
Is that what you're asking?
Okay. Yeah.
Okay. I think that's a really good question, and it's I think it's hard for us to really understand or step into that and kind of know what Jesus was feeling. But Richard, the Bible talks about the fact that Jesus agonized, and it wasn't an agony like most people would face when facing death by crucifixion. This was much deeper. And I think the fact of the matter was that he was becoming sin for us. That's what the Bible says.
Yes.
And right. In that, he was feeling that he was a million miles away from his Father.
Yeah. It wasn't just on the cross. It started long before that, but within the close time story, the Garden of Gethsemane. I mean, when he's right. falling down on the ground and sweating drops of blood and saying, oh, my God, if you could take this from me, please do so. But I will follow your will. I'm not going to follow mine. So he was bearing that weight. It was happening to him even then. It was just completed at the cross. And we just cannot enter into that kind of agony. We can just say thank you
right.
for it.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Thanks. That makes a lot of sense, and it does clear my mind a little. I was just, going back on that yesterday, and I was a little...
Stephen, the love that Jesus demonstrated for us through his death is beyond comprehension.
Yeah.
I mean, the fact that he agonized, that he took your sins, Stephen, every single one of them, upon himself, and he took the wrath of God in your place and in my place, we will never know what that feels like. But it was such a dark moment in his life. He cried out, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? and such, you know, visceral words that you just knew that's what was going on in his heart and his soul. But
right. And, you know, sometimes I feel bad. I'm sorry to take so much time, but sometimes I feel bad when I find myself and I catch myself in bad situations and I question God and I ask why, you know, and, like, I get upset sometimes and I question him. And I would think it was a bad thing before, but then I thought, you know, even Jesus Christ asked why, you know, but as long as you know it's in God's hands and have faith that he'll take care of everything and, you know.
Well, let me just say something to that Stephen. God is not afraid of your why questions. Your why questions do not put him in a tizzy. He has an answer. You may not be ready for the answer. You may not be able to comprehend the answer right at that moment, but he does have an answer, and as you continue to trust him, those answers will start to become clear to you over time. So I think asking questions is exactly what we're supposed to be doing. So good for you.
Definitely,
for
you know, because I'm 22 and I try not to get caught up in the world we're found in now, you know, and I've lost a lot of friends for it, you know, but your radio has really helped me a lot. I tell you, your station, I listen to it every day, and it really does. Whenever I do feel lost in the middle of the day, you know, and I don't have anybody to talk to, I put your station on, and it really gets me to where I need to be, you know.
Well, that's great, Stephen. Let me put you on hold. We'll send you a copy of this book we're offering this month called Love Is. Let me put you on hold, and we'll send it your way.
Thank you.
And we'll talk a little bit about that a little bit more as we close the broadcast in a couple of minutes.
Well, let's quickly go to Samuel listening to us in New Jersey. Hi, Samuel.
How are you today, sir?
Doing well, thanks.
Good, good. I had some questions about, you mentioned about perfection.
Yes.
And I have some questions. I get in heated arguments sometime about being perfect. And I told some of my friends, I don't want to know if I'm right, that when you're in Christ, that's all you can be. You can't do anything else. If you're in him, that's all you can be.
That's exactly right.
You're perfect, because he's perfect.
Yes, you're exactly.
And I've been criticized by my stand, but I'm still standing on that when Paul said in Corinthians, when I decided to do good, Eve's always present. They take it out of context and just step on it. But I said, read on down. I said, keep reading. Read till you get to 8th verse. There's no condemnation in them who are in Christ Jesus.
That's right, Samuel. I think you've got the message.
Yes.
Thank you, sir.
And one little aspect about this word perfect. When we think
right.
of perfection, we think of flawlessness, something
yes.
without any flaws. When the word is used in the New Testament, it's talking about a goal. It's talking about
right.
an end result. We were
okay.
out of Christ. Now through
yes.
faith in his finished work, God has placed us into Christ. That is
Christ.
God's end goal for us. And so once
Thank
we've
so
reached
much.
That, we are perfect in his sight. That's what that means. Well, Samuel,
a small group of people. Thank you so much.
Hey, thanks yeah. for your call, Samuel. God bless.
Absolutely. Well, friends, it's the final couple of days of our offer for the booklet that Bob was talking about, a great resource that will help you grow and live out the love of God in your relationships, and at the same time, and most importantly, help support this radio broadcast. It's Bob Christopher's book, Love Is, and it's yours with our thanks for your gift of any amount to Basic Gospel. Click the link at basicgospel.net or call 1-800-727-2828 to speak with our operator. Again, that number 1-800-727-2828 to make your gift and request your copy of Love Is by Bob Christopher. Our Bible conference, Dan 2014, is coming up June 19th through the 21st, featuring John Lynch, Andrew Farley, and of course, Bob Christopher. Stand 2014, Finding Solid Footing in a Broken World. For information and registration, visit the website stand2014.com. We have a couple of deadlines approaching that I mentioned a few moments ago, and we need to let you know about these. Early registration at the discounted rate of $79 ends this Sunday. Also, the preferred rate at Hilton Garden Inn for the conference expires on June 5th. That's on Thursday. This is the closest hotel, of course, to the Hope Center, and that information, too, is included at the website, stand2014.com. We hope that you can go ahead and make your arrangements now to be with us on June 19th. But remember, the preferred rate at Hilton Garden Inn ends Thursday, June 5th, and early registration for the conference ends this Sunday. So, now for Bob Christopher, for Richard Piper and the ministry team, I'm Bob Davis, wishing you a safe and blessed weekend in the Lord Jesus Christ. We'll be back on Monday. We hope you can join us then. We'll see you. Bye-bye.